More shadiness.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. One of the major reasons the financial system needed a bailout was the possibility of massive bank failures and panic. Some banks did, in fact, go under, like IndyMac, wiped out stockholders completely. But now we've learned that bank regulators not only saw trouble coming at IndyMac, but one of them appears to have helped the bank cover it up. Steve Henn has more.
According to the Treasury Department's Inspector General, Eric Thorson, a regulator at the Office of Thrift Supervision allowed IndyMac Bank to backdate an infusion of new capital last spring. The new cash let the bank appear healthy in public filings, when in fact it had so little money, normal rules would have required it to stop accepting brokered deposits.
This capital window dressing that took place allowed IndyMac to stay open for at least another couple of months.
Bert Ely's a banking consultant. He says the maneuver probably cost the FDIC millions, if not billions, when it was finally forced to take the bank over in July. Republican Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa is outraged.
What was done in the case of IndyMac was a violation of law, costing the FDIC $8 to $9 billion.
According to Inspector General Thorson, other thrifts like IndyMac were also permitted to backdate capital infusions on their public records. But just which banks were involved hasn't been revealed. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
It's almost a foregone conclusion that Wall Street will have its worst year since the 1930s. The S&P 500 is down 40%. And yesterday, the S&P had another bad day, losing almost 2%, 16 points. The Dow fell a fraction, 59 points, to 85.19. The Nasdaq gave up 31, that's more than 2%. Today, the Nikkei was closed, but stocks finished lower elsewhere in Asia. European shares are a fraction higher so far, oil at $39 a barrel. The government releases the latest data on home sales today. Still not expecting much good news. But there's a new push in Congress to help homeowners who are struggling. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more on that.
House Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank is drafting new legislation. It would require some of the remaining federal bailout money to be used to help stem home foreclosures and reduce mortgage rates. The Massachusetts Democrat says his bill would include some ideas from FDIC Chair Sheila Bair. She wants to spend $24 billion on incentives to encourage lenders to modify more loans to keep struggling borrowers in their homes. Frank's legislation would also put policies in place at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that would lead to lower interest rates. He wants the second half of the $700 billion in bailout money to be released next month, even before President-elect Barack Obama takes office. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
If you need a laugh this morning, National Lampoon has a new spoof on YouTube, the Santa Claus bailout hearings. Santa tells Congress he needs $25 billion for his North Pole workshop to survive.
What really gets us into this position was the tech gift these kids want now. You really think a bunch of elves who are used to whittling baseball bats can reverse engineer an iPod, figure it out, and then build 700 million of them?
How did you reach the $25 billion figure for this particular request?
We account for an average of 5.5 gifts per child per household, and then double that if the parents miss a pop one, a football game or two.
Why 25 billion? I mean, why not 26?
Right. Well, I personally would feel awkward asking for $26 billion. That would be ridiculous, but 25 billion really is quite reasonable.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant-making, employee giving, and volunteerism. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at medtronic.com.
As much anger is directed at Wall Street for the fallout of this year, there are a lot of regular people who lost their jobs in the financial sector. More than 200,000 of them, in fact. And they had nothing to do with bad mortgages or Ponzi schemes. Jill Barshay talked to one of them as she prepared for the holidays.
Until a few weeks ago, Christine Elbert worked in a Midtown Manhattan office tower. On any given morning, she was usually busy at work on marketing strategies for her boutique investment firm. These days, weekday mornings find her
getting my daughter breakfast and getting her out the door. I have a two-year-old daughter by now. Time flies.
Elbert was laid off as a senior vice president of marketing in late October. Not much need for marketing after the firm lost hundreds of millions in assets. On a recent Wednesday, Elbert has already been up for hours, job hunting online. Her laptop sits open in the corner of the living room.
I haven't really found any position that has everything that I'm looking for, let's say, but I'm out there looking.
Elbert's small, one-bedroom apartment on the Upper West Side also serves as headquarters for her husband's travel business. It's not doing well either. Elbert hopes she has enough money in the bank to get through the next 12 months.
I feel fortunate, at least, you know, that we did develop a savings cushion and we're not going to be out of our home or anything that's happening to a lot of the rest of the people around the country. But still, it's very stressful and challenging. And we want to be able to save up money for our daughter's college and save up money for our retirement, not just drain down our savings right now.
For Christmas, Elbert is visiting her parents in Florida, as she does every year. But she misses the holiday camaraderie at the office.
You're laid off and escorted out of the building right away, so you don't even have any way to get in touch with anyone to wish them well or say goodbye. So that's probably one of the hardest parts, particularly around this time of year, is just being able to keep in touch with people that you, you know, built your lives with.
Now Elbert is looking at a new life. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
Share your stories with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.